Man, there is nothing like Sunday night worship, and I'm so glad to get to worship with you guys tonight. There's just something so special about it that I feel bad for people who don't know and who don't make it, because it's such a good time to get together and worship the Lord as a congregation. Open up in Scripture to Mark chapter 7. We'll begin where we left off this morning. We'll begin in verse 24. Mark chapter 7, verse 24. If you're in the Pew Bible following along with me, we're still on page 818. Actually, 819, right at the top of the page. 819, Mark chapter 7, verse 24. Frequently, when we look at the miracles of Jesus, we see that the primary purpose of the miracles that Jesus worked are to demonstrate that He is Lord, that He is God. He performs these miracles, demonstrating again and again in every way that Jesus Christ is God Himself, whether it be speaking over the waves and calming them in the storm, whether it be healing those who are sick, or even raising the dead. He is demonstrating that He is God Himself. But there's more to the miracles also. If you look tonight, we see Jesus leaving Israel to go to another area altogether, an area full of Gentiles, where there are Jews. But He goes way out of town in order to perform a few miracles. And what He does in performing these miracles demonstrates even more about Jesus Christ than that He is simply Lord. So let's pray together and let's read and hear more about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father God, I pray that the reading of Your Word and the hearing of Your Word would be worship to You tonight. Thank You so much for gathering us together again today to hear from You. Thank You that You have not stopped speaking to us. As I pray in Your name, amen. Mark chapter 7, verse 24. And Jesus left that place, and He went on into the vicinity of Tyre. And He entered a house, and He did not want anyone to know it. Yet He could not keep His presence secret. In fact, as soon as she heard about Him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an impure spirit came and fell at His feet. The woman was a Greek, born in Syria and Phoenicia. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. "First, let the children eat all they want," He told her, "for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." "Lord," she replied, "even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then He told her, "For such a reply you may go, the demon has left your daughter." She went home, and she found her child lying on the bed and the demon gone. Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre, and He went on through Sidon, down to the Sea of Galilee and into the region of the Decapolis. There some people brought to Him a man who was deaf and could hardly walk, and they begged Jesus to place His hands on them. And after He took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put His fingers in the man's ears, and He spit and touched the man's tongue. And He looked up to heaven with a deep sigh and said to him, "Epaphra," which means "be opened." At this, the man's ears were opened. His tongue was loosened and began to speak plainly. And Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone. But the more He did so, the more they kept talking about it. People were overwhelmed with amazement. "He has done everything well," they said. "He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." This is our Lord, Jesus Christ. After the passage earlier today that we read, He's speaking with the Pharisees, He's been healing people in Israel, and now He goes way up on the coast. This is far north from Israel, Tyre, a coastal town, Sidon, the same. He leaves his normal area and He goes to hide out for a little bit, Scripture says. He goes to a house, He doesn't wish to make His presence known, but nothing stops the spread of the gospel. They hear about Him, and they dearly wish to be saved like everyone else. When this woman hears that Jesus is there, who heals the sick, who casts out demons, she knows her daughter is afflicted by this spirit. She goes to Him and falls on her face and says, "Heal my daughter." And what Jesus responds is an interesting. He says to her, it's wrong to give the bread to the dogs. Jesus says to her, "It is wrong for me to do this," and refers to her as a dog. He says, in essence, here, for the Jews. I'm here for Israel. And you're Greek, you're Syrian, you're Phoenician from a different area. This would be wrong to do. Jesus initially turns down her request to heal her daughter. Undeterred, the woman humbles herself and says, "Lord, even the dogs under the table eat the children's scraps." Now this, Jesus heals the daughter willingly. What do we make of this? First of all, nothing stops the spread of the good news. Jesus goes, perhaps for rest, perhaps for this very purpose, though, to be pursued by these people. He goes out into a region that is not predominantly Jewish, that is outside of the Israelite borders, into another area where there are Jews, but there's also lots and lots of Greeks, and even the Jews there participate in the Greek culture more than anything. Jesus goes out here and ostensibly does everything that he can in order to hide out, to take vacation at the sea, and yet nothing stops the spread of the good news. I want you to understand from this first that cultural barriers are real. I mean, there are differences between different cultures, how they act, how they speak, what they eat, even more so, what they mean when they use the same words. Language is a huge barrier. There are real barriers between cultures for understanding each other, for relating to each other. But there is no cultural barrier that is so strong that the gospel cannot overcome it. Cultural barriers are strong, but the gospel is stronger. Cultural barriers are real, but the gospel is more real. Ethnicity of any kind, culture of any kind, is not a barrier that stops the spread of the gospel. Jesus goes into this foreign region. They've heard about what he does, and they all come to be healed and to accept him as their Lord and Savior, to put faith in him. And the way the gospel spreads from nation to nation, from people to people in different cultures, is by necessity. I mean, it has to. It is such good news, it overcomes all of these barriers. So it does today. I would say rather, in fact, if the gospel is not crossing cultural barriers all over the place, it's not an inherent problem with the gospel, it's our problem. Rather, the gospel itself goes out and people want to hear and know. Because it's not a cultural issue that we are all in need of Jesus Christ. That is about humanity, and that is all of us everywhere. Take long, they hear and they come. And this woman, as you've heard, comes and humbles herself before Jesus. I mean, it's astonishing what he says and what she says to him. And yet, she persists and she finds healing for her daughter. She humbles herself. The best way to understand what Jesus says here is an opportunity for her. And that's what she takes it as. She hears what she says. He says she understands that Christ's first purpose is for Israel. And though that was never the end goal, the gospel was always going to go out to all the nations. It was told about in Scripture before Christ comes in the Old Testament that God's purpose was always that people from every nation should come and hear him. Christ's first purpose in coming now was for Israel, and then that through Israel, through those disciples of his, the apostles, all these other nations would come to hear. So she comes to him almost as a person out of time, out of step, saying, you know, come and heal my daughter. And he's saying, hold on, my mission's for Israel. And yet, she humbles herself. She takes what could have been an insult honestly and says, I don't care, please heal. And sure enough, Jesus does. Throughout Scripture, this is always true. Whoever has faith is welcomed by God. You see this in the Old Testament with Rahab, who is, what's that occupation for Rahab? She's a prostitute. And she's absolutely not an Israelite, but she changes her life, she turns from that, she puts her, and she is accepted by God. You see this in the life of Ruth, who is not an Israelite. And yet, she puts her trust out of her mother-in-law, Naomi, and she is accepted by God. It happens all throughout Scripture, and it happens here, that it doesn't matter where you're from, it doesn't matter where you were born or what language you spoke at that time. One might say we're all wrong because we don't speak Aramaic as they did in these texts. And yet, the one who has faith is the one who is saved. Who is willing to humble himself before Christ is the person who finds their salvation. I'll tell you, this woman, when I look at her, I see an example for who I want us to be as a church, always. She has no arrogance about herself. She doesn't think she deserves something from God in any way. But she throws herself on His graces and pleads for her daughter to be saved. That's what I want our church to be. Never arrogant. Never feeling like we've arrived at something. Never certain that we've reached the next level, but rather always prioritizing the salvation of the people around us. There is one focus, like this lady, save Jesus. It doesn't matter what it costs me, it doesn't matter what anyone says about me, it doesn't matter how much I have to humble myself, please save those who are around me. Our priority is salvation and nothing else. We as a church are not proud. We're not trying to be proud. We've got nothing to be proud about, really. The way the human heart goes, it's easy for us to get proud. It's easy for us to become arrogant. And even the smallest thing, the only thing we need to keep ourselves in check is to go before Jesus Christ, our Savior, and remember all that He has done for us already. We are not a proud church or proud people, but we are a people who humbly offer ourselves to Jesus Christ. We humbly offer that we are willing to be His and to be a part of the good work that He is doing. When Christ says, who will go? We're the church that says, we will. Please, send us. We are ready. We'll go anywhere, whether it's across the street or across the world. If He will let us be a part of His work, we're in. We'll go do it no matter what the logistical issues. We have always been and are now a congregation of non-professionals. Think about it. You don't have to be professional or perfect. You do have Christ as Lord. It has always been this way. It will always be that way at Talitha. We are not a place for just the best to use their gifts for God. We are a place for everybody who is willing to put their hand to the plow to come and join in the harvest. We are a place where nothing else really matters so long as we get to have our relationship with Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a joy to get to be in a good season, and it's a joy to get to complete a neat building. By the grace of God, what a joy it is. And to see some people come to Christ and be saved. But I want us to never forget this woman and her willingness to, no matter what place she's in, no matter who she is, to humble herself before Jesus, simply beg for the salvation of her daughter. We will always be found, this church, simply humbling ourselves, thanking Jesus that we get to be a part of the work that He's doing in other people's lives, and humbly praying that He would save those who are around us and let us be a part of it. You hear next about how Jesus goes and heals a deaf man, a mute man. Can't hear, he can't speak. Jesus comes into his life, heals him. And all these people in this region, these aren't Israelites. These aren't Jewish people. These are all these Greek people, but they're amazed at Jesus Christ. And their testimony about who Jesus Christ is this. Very last verse, verse 37. He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. What a perfect testimony about Jesus Christ from these ones. He has done everything well. Who is our Lord? Who is Jesus? He's the one who did it all perfectly. He did everything well. And now this isn't like a guilt trip for us who hear it, who know that we have not done everything well, who know that, sometimes we just got by. it was pretty close. We're sliding into home on certain things, or you know what, we totally failed on other things. This isn't how Jesus did right, and maybe you didn't. This is our hope. All of our hope is in the fact that Jesus lived perfectly. That in every situation, whether attacked by Pharisees, whether called upon to help in a foreign nation, Jesus did everything well. He did everything just right. This actually removes from us the stress of needing to be perfect. We're not perfect, and we don't do it right all the time. But we're going to be okay because Jesus did. He was perfect. That's where all of our joy and hope is in. That's, we have faith that if He did everything well while He was walking on the earth, then He is doing everything well now as He is on His throne in heaven. We have faith that if He was able to heal everyone here, that He is able to heal everyone now. That is our faith. We have faith that if He was willing to accept this woman and this man, then He is willing to accept us too. That's our faith in Jesus Christ. He has done everything well. Just before our service tonight, I went and got to see Beverly Knapp. She's one of our members here at the church. She is, if you recall, we got to baptize her about a year ago. She came to Christ several years ago as an adult. She is, I believe, 84 now, but she was ready to be baptized, and God bless her. It was a great joy to see someone humble themselves and offer themselves to God in baptism. Beverly was diagnosed with cancer a few weeks ago, specifically in her lungs, but elsewhere as well, and they are not treating her for this cancer. And so it's a sad time for the family. This is Joanne Futrell's mother, another one of our members. And so, a difficult time and a sad time. Go check in on Beverly and talk with her. Befriend her if you can. She and I had a great conversation about everything that is to come, about our hope in Jesus Christ, about our hope for the resurrection of the dead. Not just that when we die, we get to go be in heaven with Christ. That is true. When we die, we go immediately to be in heaven with Christ. But moreover, the hope that all those who have gone on before us, whose spirit is now with Christ, though their body, we could go find it out there or somewhere, they are separated, the body and spirit, and that's not the end state. Someday Christ returns, and then the dead in Christ rise, just as Jesus Christ our Lord did. So Beverly and I were talking about baptism, because we have to baptize, and that's exactly what baptism symbolizes for us, that we believe Jesus our Lord died, put in the grave, and rose again. So we baptize like we do. And we believe that if He died and rose again, we know that we too, though we may go and die, we will rise as well. We got a conversation about hope in Christ. I tell you, this testimony about this man brings me such joy because this is our Lord. And Jesus did everything well. He took care of everyone who came to Him. He did not reject them. He conquered death. He brought healing. And He said that someday He will come again and set things right. That is where our hope is. That's where our joy is. And that's why we sing these songs together, because Jesus did everything perfectly. Father God, I thank You that You are so good, that though we may live in difficulties, that though we may have hard times, that though we and the ones we love go and face death, we know that You have already risen and that someday we will have our resurrection too if we put our hope in You. I thank You for the witness of these two people, this man who was healed, this woman whose daughter was healed. Father God, let us be like them in putting our trust in You completely. Father, as we sing to You now, accept this song as worship. And Jesus, please come soon. This I pray in Your name. Amen.